You're going to Tennessee next month. What's going on there?
That's right, actually. There are two places in East Tennessee we've been getting a lot of reports from lately. One of them is a system of caverns called Appalachian Caverns. These caves were owned by both Davy Crockett and Daniel Boone. Civil War soldiers hid out there. Native Americans lived there. Bootleggers had their operations there. And there are tons of reports from people going to these caverns and experiencing ghosts. In fact, just the other day, there was a lady walking through the caves all by herself, and it was pitch black in one area, very cold, and someone or something let loose this blood-curdling scream right beside her. Needless to say, she almost lost control of her bodily functions, and there was absolutely no one there. So we are going into this extensive system of caves. We're going to be navigating at least over a mile of these caves, the areas that are safe for us and experienced spelunkers, seeing if we can document anything below the earth. And then after that, we're actually going to a haunted vaudeville theater in Kingsport, Tennessee, that has a great deal of activity. We hear about theaters all the time.
Why would this be haunted?
Well, the theater is interesting in general because, you know, over time you have people that are expending a great deal of energy and emotion, and one of your callers earlier alluded to the imprint phenomenon, that if you have enough energy from something dramatic that has occurred, such as, a murder or a suicide, it might somehow still reside in the environment residually. Well, it may be no different in a theater, except that this is being created by the human imagination. And the most haunted area of this theater is the projectionist booth. In fact, from what I understand, in the old days, once they started running films through there, the projectionist basically had to live in the booth, because if that film got jammed and began to burn, it would let loose deadly cyanide gas and potentially kill everybody in the theater. So this guy stayed in the projectionist booth for years and years, many hours per day, had his own bathroom in there, and now this projectionist booth appears to have his energy inside. In fact, I'm waiting for some video footage right now from some of the people who are renovating the theater. A guy says that he was walking up to the door of the booth with his video camera, and the door is spring-loaded, so it stays shut. However, they had it propped open since they were hauling some stuff in and out. He said all of a sudden the door slammed shut violently right in his face when he got up to it, and then it opened itself back up, hung there for a bit, and then closed again as if someone were walking through. And the guy who owns the place said, that's impossible. This is a spring-loaded door. It can't open itself back up and stand there for a bit. So we're going to both of those locations. In fact, if any of your listeners follow the link to my website from your site, they can learn how to come with me if they go to the lemurteam.com website as well. And we're doing that as well as a lot of other investigations around the world because, you know, when you go into the caves, you get to measure some of these natural fields below the earth. When you go out to sea, like we're doing in October, the Bermuda Triangle, you get to see how these energy fields are affected when you have water all around you. Now the only thing we're missing is testing what happens when you're way up in the air. You know, we want to do something of an aerial nature next. And by understanding how some of these anomalous fields operate in the sky, at sea, and below the earth, as well as here on the surface, we're putting together some kind of a map that will give us some insight into how these fields seem to produce paranormal phenomena.
The last time we were together, you were working on research with animal ghosts that you called phantomals.
Yes. Yeah, the phantomal phenomenon, and in fact, phantomal is a word that I coined because when I was doing research for my latest book, Pet Ghosts, I found that it was difficult to differentiate between certain types of animal ghosts versus what seemed to be an elemental, like a hellhound, or even a cryptid like Bigfoot. I tend to think a lot of these cryptids are interdimensional creatures.
Could be.
I mean, that's why you have examples of Bigfoot, you know, vanishing in mid-pathway and, you know, the footprints just disappear. So phantomals is a general term for a paranormal entity that looks more like an animal than a person. Mothman, for example, would fit into that. And I'm proud to say the book has recently been optioned for a TV program. We'll see how that goes.
Good
and so
for
I've
you.
Been putting a request out there for people to send me images and footage of anything that might seem like, you know, a valid animal ghost that might work for a TV show. And I've been getting tons and tons of pictures, and what I'm finding is that these creatures that seem to exist in that boundary between normal animals and extraordinary animals are more prevalent than I ever even thought. People just haven't had a place to go with them before. I mean, I get descriptions all the time of creatures that look something like, a German Shepherd that's walking upright, that has a big yellow eye. I don't know what this thing is. I don't know what name to give it. Maybe somebody like Lauren Coleman could clue us in on how to classify something like this cryptozoologically. But people see these kinds of creatures, and then they either vanish or they just sort of dissolve. And more of these reports are coming to me, and it leads me to believe that there are even more of these creatures that are sort of on that vague boundary between our physical realm and the non-physical realm than we've ever realized before, and it's a bit intimidating, frankly.
Well, they may have been around since the beginning of time, for all we know.
I would say so, and I think that, you know, many of these creatures that we call, you know, demons or angels or aliens, they could just simply be another life form that exists on a realm right outside what is physical to us. You know, I've often said before, scientifically, you have to realize that physicality itself is a relative thing. One thing is physical to another if they both reside within a similar frequency range that and can resist each other, but there is nothing scientifically that indicates life forms cannot exist in these realms that are non-physical.